In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. As we are still in the 40, or if you will, 50 days of Easter, we rejoice that the Lord has risen indeed during this whole period in time. From Easter Sunday to the ascension of our Lord was 40 days when Jesus gave convincing proofs that he was risen from the dead. He ate with them, he showed them his hands and side. And then on a Thursday, 40 days after Easter, he ascended to the right hand of God and promised the coming of the Holy Spirit. And 10 days later, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out and the gospel goes to all of the nations. We're in the midst of those 40 and 50 days of Easter, preparing to celebrate Christ's ascension and also Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit. So while we are in the midst of this Easter season, we have before us three amazing texts. First, John chapter 14. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but me." Secondly, from Acts chapter 6, you heard of the martyrdom of Stephen, the first one who died for Christ, one of the seven deacons who faithfully proclaimed Christ, who saw Jesus at the right hand of God, but because the people were filled with wrath against him, they stoned him. He fell asleep in Christ and went to be with the Lord in heaven and spoke words identical to the word Jesus spoke on the cross. "Lord, don't hold this sin against them. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And thirdly, from 1 Peter chapter 2, Christ is the cornerstone of the Christian church and of our lives, and gives us the priesthood of all believers, that the office of the keys is given to the whole church to bring people from darkness into light. We're also privileged to have Jim and Susan here with us, explaining to us the work of Lutheran Bible translators in the Ethiopian Lutheran Church, as they proclaim there, and as we proclaim here, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, the only way of salvation. So today we see that no one comes to God the Father except through Jesus, God's Son. Let's first of all look, if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, to where is he leading us? We first consider the Father's house, heaven, the place of many mansions and many rooms. The way, the truth, and the life is guiding us so we, like Stephen, can come into the Father's house. Jesus says, "In the Father's house are many rooms or many mansions." There are many pictures of heaven in the Bible. There's the New Jerusalem, the holy city. There is the new Garden of Eden where we eat from the tree of life. There is the wedding banquet and feast of rejoicing in the Lamb and his kingdom. And here's the picture of this great mansion with many rooms in many places that Jesus goes to prepare for us. He who was ascended to the right hand of God has prepared this place for us and will take us to himself, that where he is, we may be also. That's the place the Lord is bringing us as the way, the truth, and the life, where we will see the angels, where we will see the saints who've gone before us, and we will see the Father's face through his Son, Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is our destination. We are just pilgrims here on earth. That is our true home. Therefore, Jesus says, no matter what you're dealing with right now, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In the mystery of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three persons in one God, when we believe in God the Father, we are called to believe in Jesus, his Son, to trust him alone. He is the one who prepares the place for us. Stephen knew this. At his martyrdom, he was one of the seven deacons chosen to help those in special needs as the apostles preached the word. And Stephen, who was faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, saw suddenly the glory of God the Father was filled with the Holy Spirit and actually saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. But when he tells the crowd, they hate him, they hate Christ and the gospel, and they pick up stones to stone him to death. You see, Stephen preached a law gospel sermon. He told them, this righteous one, you betrayed him and you murdered him, that is, on the cross. But God raised him from the dead. He is the righteous one who comes to give us life. They did not want to hear this message, so they killed him. And as I said before, Stephen spoke words just like Jesus did upon the cross. Lord, don't hold this sin against them. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he fell asleep. He went to be with Christ. You see, Stephen knows about Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Stephen knows about the Father's house because he's here. He is there now. We are here now, and the Lord will bring us to the Father's place of many rooms and many mansions. But he will only do it, as he did for Stephen and all Christians, through his Son, Jesus. That's the second reality we look at today. Excuse me. If we want to come to the Father's house, the only way is through Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus speaks to Thomas as he continues the conversation. Thomas, you know the place I'm going, and you admire Thomas's honesty. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus speaks to him these words that we've memorized since we were children. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. He's the only way to heaven because he's God's only Son. He is the only truth because only he reveals who God really is. And he is the life, physical life for your bodies, spiritual life, which is faith, and eternal life into eternity is yours. No one comes to the Father but by Jesus. If you know Jesus, you know the Father. Keep in mind, when we Christians proclaim to all the world that you can't be saved by Buddha, you can't be saved by Allah, you can't be saved in Buddhism or Confucianism or Mormonism or Jehovah's Witness, those are leading people to hell because they don't speak the truth. When Jesus says he is the only way, keep in mind that context of that. Ever since Genesis chapter 3, when God promised the one seed to come to crush the head of the serpent, the entire Old Testament is directing us to that one way that will come from the seed of the woman through Seth, and then from Noah and Shem and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Judah and David and Solomon and Mary and Joseph, and then comes forth Jesus. There's always only been one way, one plan of salvation through Jesus. This is the context when he says he is the way, the truth, and the life. To know Jesus is to know the Father. If you go down Lindsay Street, down by Classic 50s, that Bethel Baptist Church has one of those neon signs, and they print different sayings. And one of the best ones I saw one day driving down Lindsay Street was they had on the neon sign, Know Jesus, K-N-O-W, Know Jesus, Know God. And then under that, Know Jesus, N-O, Know God. That's exactly right. If we know Jesus, then we do know who God the Father is. But if there's no Jesus, there's no God. This isn't politically correct. This is not what the world believes. Your friends think all religions lead to God. Your friends think that you just pick a religion and whatever works for you, well, that's your truth. That's not what Jesus says. That's not what the Scripture says. Jesus is the only cornerstone of our salvation. He's the only way because he's the only person who was crucified for us. He's the only one who was risen from the dead and ascended to the right hand of God. There is no other Savior. When Peter, in the epistle lesson, calls Jesus the cornerstone, the living stone that was rejected by man but is God's precious stone, the cornerstone of the church. What he is saying is that when Christ appeared, sharing our flesh and blood, and was rejected, he was like a building stone that the builders threw over in the rubbish heap. But then God came down and took that stone and made it the cornerstone of the church. The rejected stone became the cornerstone. Now it is true that that cornerstone is the building block of our life as we, through holy baptism, are built into the church as living stones. But you know, the world doesn't look at it that way. The world sees Jesus as a stumbling block. When the world comes upon Jesus, they trip over it. They fall over it. I can't believe he's the only way. And then they will be crushed by it on the last day. The cornerstone that is precious to us is rejected by the world. It's always going to be that way because the world lives in spiritual darkness. That's why, because you know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, what Peter said is true for you. You used to be darkness, now you're in the light. We used to be no people, now we are God's people. We used to not have any mercy, now we have God's mercy. And in the words concerning the priesthood of all believers, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who belong to God. What we understand is that in holy baptism we are all priests. We have direct access to God the Father through Jesus, who is our high priest, who offered his very blood upon the cross for our redemption. The sins of the world have been taken away in his blood. If he takes the sins of the world away, then he takes your sin away. And this Reformation principle called the priesthood of all believers means that in your baptism, all of us are priests. Some are called to be pastors, but the office of the keys is given to the whole church, not to the Pope, not just to priests in the Roman Catholic Church, but to all Christians, the office of the keys. This is why, by the way, we in the Lutheran Church call our pastors pastors. We don't call them priests, because Jesus is our only priest, the high priest of our confession. And then Jesus talks about what it means if he is the way, the truth, and the life, and if he's taking us to the Father's house of many mansions, what does it mean that the Son is in the Father, and the Father is in the Son? This, of course, is the mystery of the Holy Trinity. The Son is in the Father. If you see the Son, you have seen the Father. Here we see the honesty of another disciple, Philip. He comes up and says, "Lord, show us the Father, and then we'll be satisfied." And then Jesus is going, "Philip, how long have I been with you? Haven't you heard what I've been saying? Whoever sees me has seen the Father. The words I speak are the Father's in his authority. If you don't believe by looking at me, at least believe on account of the works and the miracles that I do." Do you see, the apostles had the same struggle we have. You'd like to see God. You'd like to be able to look right into heaven and see God the Father, but you can't. We are unholy. He is holy. We can't come into the presence of the Lord God of hosts. Only through Jesus can we come into his presence, because he shares our flesh and blood. He took our sin upon himself, and he gives us his righteousness. So through Christ, whom we see in preaching, teaching, holy baptism, absolution, and holy communion, there through the eyes of faith you see Jesus, and you see the Father's will, and when you get to heaven, you will see the Father on that day. But until then, we know the Father only through his Son. The Son is in the Father is in the Son. Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me will do even greater works than me, because I'm going to the Father." What Jesus means here, of course, is that he's about to ascend to the right hand of God. And when he sends the Holy Spirit will bring the gospel into the language, the one language of the gospel, to all the nations. We heard today about the gospel going into Ethiopia, the thousands of languages. The gospel still needs to go into all the world. What does it mean that we will do greater works than Jesus? How can this be? Well, at the end of Jesus' ministry, he had about 500 people that were his key followers. But then after he ascended, and after the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, this weak vessel named Peter, who not long before this had denied Christ, but Christ forgave him and reinstated him, this man preaches one sermon on Pentecost, and 3,000 people become Christians. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit is now poured out. Whoever believes in Jesus' name is saved. And so we do even greater works than the Lord did, the Lord Jesus himself, because the Holy Spirit is being poured out. And now through humble preaching of human beings, millions of people, billions of people have become Christians. We do even greater works than the Lord Jesus because the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon us. In conclusion, I don't know what you're dealing with in your life right now. Something is troubling you. Something is bothering you. A person, a situation, a long-standing grief. Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. Your woes here on earth will soon be over. The Lord Jesus Christ's destination for you is heaven. I will come back and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. This is why we proclaim the pure gospel and administer the sacraments here as one family in our church, in school, in campus ministry. This is why we need you to support missionaries like this, to be ushers and greeters, to serve in the boards and councils of this church. The Lord needs you in your vocation, your abilities and callings, to serve here in this congregation where he's placed you. So if you're asked to serve in any of these capacities, prayerfully consider saying, yes, I will serve the Lord in my congregation in these ways so that our community can faithfully proclaim Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Three amazing texts for these 40 days of Easter. Let us proclaim to our generation Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. One day we will, like Stephen, behold Jesus face to face in heaven. May we build our lives on Jesus, the cornerstone of the church, and may we rejoice in the gift of the priesthood of all believers, that all of us can proclaim in our community, among our neighbors, among our friends, this one truth. Jesus alone is the way and the truth and the life. God grant that we would be faithful to that calling through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the peace that transcends our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.